This is a podcast about adapting, overcoming, and thriving in life and business. I'm your host, Kirsty O'Brien, mum of four and meditation and mindfulness practitioner. And this is exactly where you're meant to be if you're ready to ditch the guilt and self-doubt and start showing up as the woman you were meant to be. This is the Mindful AF in Life and Business podcast. Hello and welcome to another episode of Mindful AF in Life and Business. And today I have Bree Marie, Pinterest strategist, podcast host, and one of my very good friends, even though we've never met him, all the way in the US. So hello, Bree. Thank you for joining me.
I'm so excited, Kirsty. I'm so glad that you finally started your podcast and now I get to be a guest because you've been a guest, is it two or three times on my podcast?
I think three, maybe two, and then you did a mashup, I think. But I know, and you were always telling me, come on, you can do it. I was always sort of okay, yeah, next month. And now I love it. I know. So thank you for the encouragement. That's why I just feel so close to you because we've sort of become business sort of support network over the years, but also friends, which has been really nice.
It has been. I know. It's so crazy how quickly time goes by. And then I feel like last year was I feel like I'm still operating in place of March 2020 and December 2020. those months just all feel like one month.
You know what, that I actually agree with you there. And it's so funny because I feel like too in my mind, I just think a lot about March and pre-March and after March.
yeah, I know. I feel the same exact way. I'm okay, wait, I can't believe we're coming up on a year of this nonsense. It's so crazy.
It's even different for you because your restrictions are so much more different to what I'm experiencing, because being in Sydney and you being where you are in the US, you're still in quite restrictions, which adds a whole lot of different things to the plate.
Yeah, well, so I'm in California, so I think out of all of the states, I think we might have the we might be the most restricted as far as I think out of all of them. I'm not 100% sure. I try not to look at the news because then that just freaks me out even more. But I feel like my mom's in Florida, which is on the other side of the US, and they're very much open and doing whatever they need to do. So it's just a different everywhere you go.
which doesn't make it easy when you're hearing that people are out eating in restaurants.
yeah, I know. I spent my last birthday in quarantine and I'm I wonder if it's going to be the same this year or what that's going to be like.
I know. Well, if anything, it's really helping us to live in the moment and get those mindfulness skills in tune, I suppose.
Absolutely. Yeah, I don't think I would have been mentally as well off as I was if it wasn't for things like meditation and mindfulness and just all of those skills.
100%. And it's funny because if people listening don't realize this, we did allude to your podcast before, but the reason that we first connected is over talking about anxiety. Mm-hmm. We both have different types of anxiety, and I actually listened to one of your episodes today, and you brought up a really good point, which was that even if you haven't experienced anxiety before, you probably did experience some form of it through COVID and all of the uncertainty and changes that it brought. And so that's why Bree and I thought we would get together today and really talk about how you can navigate anxiety and still run your small business.
Yeah, absolutely. I do think, to quote myself, I think if you've never experienced anxiety before, you've probably experienced some level of anxiety at some point during 2020. And then if you do experience anxiety, it was probably much more intense last year than than probably ever. And I know for myself, that was completely true. It was like my anxiety was just at a level 12 when usually it like lingers around like a 3 or a 4.
Yeah. And so what did that lean you into, I guess, last year, you know, having it sort of escalate again to that level for you as well, and then still trying to run your business, and then I suppose the business looking very different through COVID as well.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I didn't even think about that, because I think a lot of my own anxiety, and again, I'm not a mental health professional, so like all of this is just from my own experience. But I think a lot of my own anxiety stems from changes, like really big transitions or really big changes. And with something like the entire world shutting down and things you're not able to go and do things. And that made a lot of businesses have to change the way that they do business as well. And I think especially if you're a small business or some type of a service provider, as I'm sure you can relate to, Christy, like you had to shift the way that you were doing things and even the way that you're making money. And ironically, as my mental health was plummeting, my business last year was the most successful it's ever been in 4 years. Like I made the most money the last 6 months of 2020 than I had in like 3 years of my business, and I wish that I could say like, oh, I did these three things that made my business successful during COVID. And I haven't honed in on that. And I don't think I ever will, because I relied so heavily on referrals and literally asking for business more so than anything else. But again, that brings up a lot of anxiety too. So it's a really mixed bag. Like I wish that I could like articulate it better.
Yeah. Heck, crazy, hey? And it just shows that it's like anxiety doesn't even care if like there's a lot of things going right. It just focuses on the stuff that we feel like is not going right or that we can't control.
Right. And I shifted into a new, you know, vertical in my business that I wasn't 100% focused on before. So prior to COVID, I was doing a lot of courses. I had my podcast and I wasn't doing a lot of one-on-one work. And then when COVID hit, I was like, selling courses isn't going to be one. I didn't feel great about it, because I'm like, I don't feel good promoting courses in the middle of like a pandemic when people are literally struggling to pay their bills. So in a way, when I transitioned more to one-on-one, it was like more people wanting to ask me about the services. So it didn't feel so much like me going after it in an aggressive way as I normally would. And so, yeah, with the one-on-one, I shifted so much and I had to really quickly learn like, okay, what processes, what things do I need in my business to support me and also support my clients?
Yeah. So how does, like, for you, because it's so different for everybody, but for you personally, how do you find that it looks like for you as a business owner, having anxiety?
It can show up in so many different ways. And I think sometimes one of them can sometimes be avoidance, like avoiding having a tough conversation with someone because you're scared of like, oh my gosh, am I going to lose this client? Is this not the right thing to say? Are they going to get offended? Is this going to ruin? Like there's so many what ifs, right? Yes. So I think of avoidance is a big thing.
And procrastination.
Yes, procrastination.
It goes in the same thing too, but I get it. It's like constantly putting something off for fear of.
Right. And I think too, with speaking to that, I think for myself, a lot of the anxiety stemmed of like, am I able to handle it?
Yeah.
Am I able to handle this transition? And that even came up for me today with, you know, and again, everyone experiences anxiety. So I still have experiences of anxiety, even though I would say I'm pretty far along in my recovery now. But so I hadn't recorded a podcast in 4 months, and I put out my first episode today. And I was like, yesterday I was so excited about it. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is going to be great. And I woke up this morning and I was the last thing from excited. Like, I was full of fear and I was scared. And I was like, oh my gosh, what did I do? Because now I realize, like, okay, now there's some accountability aspects to it of like, I'm going to be showing up every week and recording a podcast, getting back into interviews. And that little voice and that little anxious Brie in my head was like, are you going to be able to handle this? Like, did you take on too much? Was this too much too soon? And those fears, you know, I think you have to listen to them. You don't necessarily want to ignore them, but I think even acknowledging them and being like, okay, if I get to a point where I can't handle it, or it's too much, then that's okay. And I can readjust certain things to be able to handle it.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's about meeting that anxious voice with compassion, with understanding, rather than trying to like push it away and just pretend it's not there, or let it overwhelm you and control the next step that you take.
Right, right. Yeah, I think there's just like a level of acceptance that you have to have. And I think when you say acceptance, people are like, well, I don't want to accept my anxiety because it's this like thing in my life. Like, who would ever want to accept it? And I think you can accept things and still want to change them.
Yeah, 100%.
Because with anxiety, I think we kind of, it kind of tricks you into thinking it's always going to be there. Like when someone tells me, oh, I've been anxious all day, every day. And it's like, really? All day, even when you were sleeping, you were anxious, or like, even when you were, you know, doing some small little task, you were anxious. Like, you probably weren't. So I think you have to acknowledge and accept that that's where you're at in that moment, but it doesn't always mean that you're going to stay there, that you're going to feel the way that you feel.
Definitely. And I like to describe acceptance because, I mean, that is really the foundation of your meditation practice, is reaching acceptance,
right,
at the present moment. And I always like to explain acceptance to people as openness. You know, when I'm accepting something, it's actually me being open to what I'm being shown, open to what my present reality is and what my present moment is, rather than, I know exactly what you're saying. Some people feel like acceptance is just like waving the white flag and giving up.
Right. And I think for a long time, that's how I felt about anxiety too. It's like, well, if I accept this, that this is what I'm going through and this is what I'm feeling, then it's going to make it worse. But it's almost funny because it's like paradoxical, where it doesn't make it worse. It actually makes it better, because when you can show yourself that compassion and you can be open to the wide range of human emotion, whether that's happiness, joy, sadness, anxiety, fear, like, I think you realize like, okay, this is just one emotion that I'm feeling, but I'm also capable of feeling all of these other things too.
I absolutely agree. And I feel like this is why I really wanted to have this conversation with you today, because you don't have to have a history with anxiety to experience it in running your business, because there's so many things about running a business, like the long hours, the, you know, blurring between home and work, unpredictable money, and constant changes, maybe being responsible for a team. They're all things that can easily trigger anxiety as well. But, and I know people, if they start to experiencing it, can often feel like it's a weakness. And I did, like, I actually sort of ran away from even like wanting to face that I was experiencing my anxiety when it first came up for me, because I felt like people would think, and again, caring what people think instead of just caring about my own shit, that I was weak for having it, and that I should be stronger, I should be happier, I should be this, that people would think that I wasn't a good mother, because mine was related to, like, as we've talked about before, and people listening know, I have PTSD anxiety, which is related to my daughter's treatment. And it was like, once I sort of like got out of that mindset of actually thinking it was a weakness, it totally shifted how I began to A, view it, heal it, approach it, and talk about it as well.
Yeah. And I want to circle back to something too, because you said you were worried about what people would say. And I think this also came up for me too, especially working more one-on-one with people, is I was worried. I'm like, oh my gosh, what if I'm on a conference call? What if I'm on the phone? What if I'm in a meeting? What if I'm in an interview and I have a panic attack? Like, that was my biggest, like, one of, for me, the fear wasn't specific things like, you know, germs, like, of course, like COVID's a fear, but I wasn't like overly fearful of COVID or anything like that, or contracting something or spiders or whatever anyone else's, you know, fears are, whatever is your thing or is your thing. But my fear was having panic attack, was like the fear of fear was so strong. And so I was always scared I'm going to have a panic attack talking to a new customer, talking to a new client, or having to have a different conversation. And I think the way that I navigated that was through being really honest. Like, all of my clients know, hey, I have therapy on this day, so I stop working at 3:30 in the afternoon, and after that, like, I'm done for the day. And I set that boundary, and I'm really, you know, grateful in a sense to own my own business to be like, yeah, I'm not going to work from this time to this time. But I think even establishing that boundary and being upfront with people, being like, this is something I'm dealing with, and I have to show up for myself first before I can show up for you, that really, really helped alleviate a lot of fear around having a panic attack and not being able to perform and do the things that I needed to do to run my business.
And that makes a lot of sense too, because it's, again, too, it's communicating, but it's also deepening your self-awareness around how it's showing up for you, and even, I suppose, your triggers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think one of the things too that I realized, I think we give each other a lot more grace than we give ourselves sometimes. So, like, a perfect example of this, like, what if I told you right now, Kirsty, like, Kirsty, I'm having a panic attack, I cannot do this interview anymore. What would you say to me?
I'd say, no worries. Are you okay? What can I do to help you?
Right. And that's like, I think 99% of the people that we work with would probably say the same thing. Be like, oh my gosh, totally fine. Like, call me back. Let's reschedule. We'll do what we need to do. Yeah. You know? And if they're not that way, I probably wouldn't want them as my client. Like, because if you can't show me grace in like one, in this, you know, very personal thing, like, you probably can't do that in our business transaction either.
I agree. And I have actually had that happen where I've had people scheduled, clients scheduled, and they have said, I can't do it today. I'm not in a great place. And I've sort of like always made it really important that I communicate to anyone that does business with me in any shape or form that it's a safe space with me. There's understanding, mm-hmm. there's passion. And I think that that's really important. And I'm a big advocate of now, like, really supporting business owners to know that you can do business differently. You can have different, like, priorities, and that it's really important to be prioritizing your mental health and well-being, running your team, and the mental health and well-being of your team, and how they're doing business as well.
Yeah, I think that's really important. And I don't have that conversation like directly with my clients, but I did have a client, you know, tell me that she's like, I'm going through a really, really bad depression, because she hadn't reached out to me in like 3.5 weeks. And I finally texted her and I was like, are you okay? And of course, I created this story in my head about myself and my own performance of like, oh, I didn't do this, like, I forgot about that, or something happened and I, you know, I messed up, I fumbled the ball. So I put it on myself. And so when I finally texted her to be like, I'm worried about you, is everything okay? And then she, you know, comes back to me with like, I'm really struggling. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I felt like a total, you know, weirdo for being like, I just created this whole story about myself. And a lot of that is anxiety. You think you're being perceived a certain way in your business because you have anxiety. And I don't think that I think that's normal and human to have that experience, but I also don't view anxiety as something that will inhibit you from being successful in your business, from running your business in any different way than like if you were a startup who needed capital. Like, it's just another obstacle that you're going to have to confront, and you have to learn to trust yourself and your body that you are completely capable of whatever comes up in your business. Even if you try to predict all the what ifs, like what if I get fired? What if this happens? What if that happens? You'll handle it when it gets to that point. Because a lot of the fears that we have in our head aren't even real. Like, they haven't happened yet, right? Exactly. They're very real. They feel real because you're having maybe like a physical reaction to it. Like, I know when I get nervous, like I call them the stress sweats. Like, I start to sweat. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, like, because my body is perceiving this as like a very real threat. But it's not. Like, it's in our head. It hasn't happened yet. So I think the next thing when that happens is if you're starting to get overwhelmed or feel anxiety, don't think too far advanced in the future. Think about the next possible step that you have to take for that day, for that task.
Yeah. And I think it's interesting that you brought that up about the story that we tell. And I know that was a big thing that I've had to become really aware of is assuming, like making assumptions and creating a story to go with someone's action. And most of the time, what I had created in my head was just from my anxiety and fear and was just total bullshit. And it really like would block me. And so I'm just curious, what behaviors do you feel come up for you in running your business that you now have been able to identify as, okay, that's anxiety?
That's a great question. I think the first one, I mean, we can take it back to my podcast, like not posting for 4 months, I think was partially because I wanted to get my mental health to a place where I felt clear-headed enough to be able to even show up. But then even when I did get better and I was capable, I wasn't posting. And I realized that was just fear of coming back to something and like, maybe not being supported or like people being disappointed in me, those types of things. So I think the podcast is a great example. For me, I think it's also, I do procrastinate quite a bit, where I'll wait till like the very last minute to do something, especially if it comes to like scheduling stuff. I kind of don't like to schedule it because I'll be like, oh, well, what if I feel a certain way on this day about anxiety? You know, and you really can't do that, because here's the thing that I've learned is that if you start creating routines and schedules around how you potentially might feel or around your anxiety in general, that's a really, really slippery slope. And you don't want to go down there because that's like full on anxiety disorder.
And, you know, I find this really strange about procrastination in myself. I do it. I know I'm doing it. I know I shouldn't be doing it. I know it's my anxiety. But it also, the whole process of procrastination, like really stresses me the fuck out as well. Why do I do this? And that's one thing in the last year that I've worked really hard to like really like know, okay, this is what I'm doing, and like meet it really quickly and try to eliminate it, I suppose, because it's a bizarre thing.
Well, and also in the really good way my therapist explained it to me was that like you sometimes, and for me it was a performance thing, so it was like I felt like I needed the stress and anxiety to get it done. And without that stress and anxiety, I wouldn't get it done. So, and when I realized that, I was like, oh, like it's just a fear of like not being able to get it done.
Yes. If that makes sense. To go a little deeper with this, I noticed that I was had that mindset when I was doing my high school certificate, like when I was in my last year of high school. So it's like that, that's why it's been so difficult. I think it's like really like almost like a belief that I had ingrained in me from such a young age.
So what do you mean? Like you would wait to do assignments and things like that?
Yeah.
And yeah.
Like a fear of not getting it right, but then sort of convincing yourself afterwards, oh, well, I work well under pressure almost. So it's like.
Yeah. And I think too, I think that brings up, you know, I think I was the same way in high school. Like I was in like advanced placement classes. Like I needed to have a ton of things to do in order to feel good about where I was at. And I think that's really, you know, as an entrepreneur, you just have a million plates in general that you're constantly going to be, you know, serving up and cleaning up and all of that. So it does, I think it forces you to have a level of self-awareness of like, yeah, where is anxiety showing up in my business? And is it, if it's hindering my business, what can I do about it? And sometimes it's going to look different for everyone. Like, you know, depending on where your business is at, like it could include outsourcing certain tasks that like, you're like, I'm not going to do this, you know, or this is not the right, you know, best use of my time.
Yeah. And I think that's really important to really have a look and evaluate the behaviors that you are doing in your business that are stemming from your anxiety that perhaps you might be reasoning away. Like for me, even I can tend to like to isolate when I'm feeling anxious. So that was another thing with COVID. It sort of gave me an excuse almost because I was forced to be. And I had to be really aware because I can make excuses of things to skip out on, like just say networking events or things that I'm invited to, like around, like never on a client, but like if it's a social type thing where it's like a luncheon or an event and I can then feel my anxiety coming up again. It's like a lack of confidence, I suppose, or a fear or overthinking the whole thing. And now I'm really aware of, okay, this is, you're feeling anxious around this and that's okay, but it's really important that you, you know, go to this event, get out of your comfort zone, you know, grow yourself, grow your business in this way. And so I try to have like a conversation with myself when I can feel those behaviors coming up, because it's like you said too, it's deepening your self-awareness and it's meeting yourself with that compassion.
Yeah, I think having the conversation with yourself, for me, self-talk is really important. Like even just to call out anxiety or call out whatever it is that I'm feeling, positive or negative, I think is really important. And just, yeah, having that deeper level of self-awareness of like, am I isolating? Am I procrastinating? Like, and being honest with yourself. And I think when you go back to circle back to that acceptance part, if you feel the shame or the guilt or any negative emotion or vulnerability that comes up with like, oh, maybe I'm isolating, maybe I am procrastinating. Like those are things are okay. If you tell yourself these things are okay that I'm doing them, but now I have, there's a space there now where you can make the decision to continue to isolate, to continue to procrastinate, or you can make the decision to, like you were saying, step out of your comfort zone to get things done when they need to be done in a timely way that allow you to focus.
Yes. Yeah. Because again, it's then like creating a behavior or a system, like you were saying, or a procedure within the business that enables you to thrive and continue to work through your anxiety.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that the really big thing for me has been therapy. That really helps me a lot. And I know, you know, again, I'm not a mental health professional, so I'm not going to like make any recommendations. But that for me has just been the biggest help to have like a third party, like an, is it not like they're not biased because they don't, you know my family. They don't know my friends. Like, I'm just sharing with them what I want to share, and being as open and honest with that, and being able to like hear the feedback too. Because I think sometimes we get in our own heads. So we start to self-rationalize of like, oh yeah, that's completely normal. And then when you hear someone repeat back to you something you just said, and you're like, wait, what? Like, I would not say that, or that doesn't make any sense.
I agree. And okay, we have talked about this in the past in quite a lot of depth, but social media, and when you're running a business and you're using social media for your business, I think it can be really triggering for anxiety as well. Have you found like certain things that you need to now do in that area, like maintaining a social media presence and really being like mindful of, you know, it being a trigger for anxiety?
Yeah. And I think we have talked about this a lot. And if someone hasn't listened to like our previous podcast, they might not know like how we take breaks during certain times of year, and like we'll take a day off or a weekend off. So I think knowing when to take a break is really important. Like when you've reached that threshold of like, this is too much. And especially I think with everything that happened last year, like social media became the news, like it morphed into a news platform. And so it was no longer like a way to escape, because it was like, you're watching the news on TV, you're seeing it on the internet, and now you're seeing it on social media. So yeah, I think taking a break from your platform is really important. And I always say this because I think we, especially in our online space, like we get confused with like, oh, you need social media to grow your business. And like last year, I didn't promote my business at all. After February and March, like I did not do any promotion for my courses, for my one-on-one work. It was all referral based.
Yeah. And so, that's the thing, isn't it? We get on there sometimes, I think, as an avoidance when we're anxiety, and we confuse it for human connection. And human connection is very different to what we're getting when we actually engage on social media.
Yeah, I think this is what I've learned, is like social media is great to establish a connection, but it's not great to live there.
Yep.
So like you have to foster that relationship outside of social media. So like for us, for example, like, yes, we met through Instagram, but like the way that we connect in our human connection is through WhatsApp. Like we message each other, and like, that's how we're connecting. So I think it's a very different, and like I said, I don't think you need social media to be successful in your business, but I do think it helps. And everyone's going to have a different metric that they use of like, okay, well, how much does this help my business? So how much do I need to be on it? Then in every business is going to be a little bit different in that way. But I think, yeah, definitely taking a step back from social media, it's not going to solve your anxiety. It's not going to like eliminate your anxiety, because I thought for a really long time, like, oh yeah, if I'm just off social media, I'm never going to experience anxiety anymore. And that's not the case at all. But I do think it helps you gain perspective and really take stock in your life of like, okay, this is what makes me feel good. And this is what doesn't make me feel good.
Well said. And because I think that's an important part, isn't it? Especially if you are really like your anxiety is at its peak and you're still trying to manage your business, sometimes you've really got to just step back and look at what you need to take off the table in order to sort of get to a point where you can handle more. You know, you've got to, I always share with my clients, slow down to speed up.
Yes. So like, this is another good example. So like yesterday I was thinking, I was like, oh my gosh, I have all of these things that I need to do this week. I have my interview with Kirsty. I'm launching the podcast. I'm onboarding a new client. I'm doing this on Sunday. And like, and then I have this, I have a Clubhouse talk on this day, and like all of these things. And I started feeling super overwhelmed, and I was like, oh my God. And of course the first thing that pops into my head is like, what if you can't show up for those things? What if anxiety gets in the way and you can't do them and you can't show up? And that just produces more anxiety when you start like really listening to those thoughts. And I literally said out loud, I was like, stop. Like when, and I wrote down, and I know this is so arbitrary of like writing lists out, but I'm definitely like a handwrite list maker. So I wrote down like all of the things that I needed to get done. And I was like, okay, this goes on Tuesday. This is on Wednesday. This is on Friday. And I started eliminating like things that I like that were trivial things, like clean out my inbox. It's like, that's not going to make or break my business if I don't clean out my inbox. But not being able to take the onboarding call, that I really need to show up for. So taking those like little things off that I weighed as like not crucial, that if I got to them, I got to them, and prioritizing that way really, really helps me.
I love that. It's, I think that's so important to get out of your head onto paper and then focus on what needs to be done, you know, like you said, urgently, but you know, what are things that you can possibly outsource? What are some systems and procedures that you can do in order to make this better? Because I even know, and I know it sounds, well, you might relate to it, but a messy inbox really triggers me and makes me feel really anxious. And I know that it's not threatening or anything, but it just sort of starts to trigger that feeling of like overwhelm and that I can't cope. And
like out of control.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing with anxiety is you can't control it.
No.
And that's the unfortunate thing. And that's usually the thing that causes people to have anxiety is this like this lack of control. But also just like anything in your business, you also don't have control over a lot of things in your business. As much as we try, you really don't. Like you can't control if a client cancels on you, if a client doesn't show up, if they don't pay, like those types of things are so beyond your control. And so in a lot of ways, like my business has really helped me learn that lesson of like, some days I'm just not going to be able to control anything that happens.
I agree. And knowing the things that you can control, like what are the things that you can do? And sometimes it's so simple. Like if your emails are bothering you and this, you know, you just feel overwhelmed, what can you unsubscribe from? You know, what can you just straight away, like you said, decide when you're going to, you know, respond to certain things or only respond to emails within a certain time period during the day and take the notifications off your phone so that you're not feeling like you're constantly sort of being dinged at or, you know, creating, I think you touched on it before, creating certain boundaries where you can feel that like room to breathe again.
Yeah. And I think even just scheduling myself to have 10 minutes of time where I'm not listening to music, I'm not listening to a podcast, I'm not like, I'm literally just sitting with myself has allowed me to recalibrate so much better. So it is that like slow down to speed up situation where you're like, yeah, at 3 p.m. like I'm gonna eat some pretzels and some hummus and like just chill for a second. And when I don't give myself that time, I definitely feel it.
And I like how you brought that up, that it's like time as well without distractions, because sometimes we do use music, TV, social media, a podcast as a distraction, and we're actually not just taking that time to ground and center our energy and just reset.
Yeah. And I think too, to circle back to what you were saying too about subscribing or unsubscribing to like emails, I think the same goes for social media on who you follow. I try to be really mindful. Like I really wanted to like follow no one on social media. That was my goal. But I have so many podcast guests. I've done like over 150 episodes now. So it's like, I've had so many guests, like I don't want to unfollow them because I still feel that connection with them. But I have gone through to be like other creators that maybe I haven't interviewed that I'm just like, oh, their content doesn't sit well with me anymore. Or I'm not jiving with their message, like I unfollow them. And that's okay to outgrow someone that you used to follow, because we're all kind of on our own journeys and doing different things. Like, I don't follow a lot of business coaches on Instagram for that reason, because I get too in my head of like, oh, I should be doing this, this, and this, this. And I've kind of let go of like, I don't, whatever I need to be doing in my business will come to me as I grow and expand, rather than trying to be more like, oh, I need to do all of these things now or else my business isn't going to grow.
Yeah. Trust that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And because that gets zoned out sometimes with all the noise that's on social media, and we end up just feeling like, oh, why bother?
Yeah. And I think too, I think a lot of people go into entrepreneurship like they've turned their hobbies into businesses, which is amazing. And I think that's great. I also think it's great to have hobbies that don't make you money and just have hobbies that you enjoy doing, and it allows your mind to rest. Cause like a good example of this for me too is like, this week I've been working much later at night than I normally do. Like, I usually have a hard stop at 8 p.m. Like, cause I'll work a little bit after dinner, cause I'm very more creative at night than I am in the mornings. But if I work too late, I wake up really groggy the next day. And so setting that boundary is really important for me, but also I've completely just lost my train of thought. What was I saying before that?
About looking for joy, like doing things.
Okay. So yes. So completely logging off and not doing anything that makes me, you know, money or is part of my business. So I've been doing like paint by numbers, like having hobbies, like the paint by number thing where like you take the paint and you put the numbers and the colors and all of that. And that's been really helpful for me of just giving my brain a moment to chill and not really, I'm not listening to a podcast. Maybe I'll listen to music while I'm doing that, but just giving myself that break and that breather, so I'm not constantly in like work mode.
Vital. It's so, so vital, isn't it? Because we get stuck feeling, especially I think in the early stages of still growing our business, we just feel like we've got to be in it all the time, or dedicated enough, or we're not driven enough. And it's all about too, like then it's, you know, we're exerting too much of that masculine energy, too much go, too much drive, too much go. And we're not like allowing us to sit in that feminine energy of rest and surrendering, creativity and like all that great stuff. So, you know, you can't go all the time, and you have to, like I always say, I hate the word balance because that sort of implies it's everything's got to be perfect, but you've got to find that harmony between work and life, and know that even if you're, you know, building your business and your hours are a certain way, you've got to have that time where you're enjoying the life that your business is helping you to create.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, again, to the masculine and feminine energy, I know during the holidays, I was scheduling a lot of stuff for like social media content for my clients. And I was like, the last 2 weeks, I was like running on fumes, because to me, scheduling and planning and all of that, like that curating that content is very masculine. Like, I'm very much in my masculine energy. And I recognize that now, because my steam was just like, I was just running on such low energy. And it took me a week, like thankfully it was around Christmas. So I took, you know, the week of Christmas off, and like that helped me kind of recalibrate back into that feminine energy where I could be like more creative and fun. I think you have to know in what ways your masculine energy shows up, and what is too much of that.
Yes. Yeah. And it's, I think too, you talked about taking time in the morning with like no distractions. And I do advocate that first thing in the morning when you wake up, just taking that small amount of time, it only needs to be 10 or 20 minutes, where you actually just think about creating your energy for the day. And just like, I always like to say, it's almost like taking, you know, using the breath to draw your energy into you so that it's whole and it's full and it's replenished, so that that's how you start your day, rather than like waking up straight away, answering an email or jumping on social media or putting the news on. And then it's like all of a sudden the world has almost like depleted you, sort of almost decided what your energy is going to be for the day. And then you business like that.
Absolutely. I think when I've been really good about this, and I'm actually really proud of myself that I don't have any notifications on my phone, like at all, like only calls from my, like I have the emergency, like people, like my mom, my dad, my grandparents, and my like best friend and aunt, those are the only people whose calls come through. But I do not check my messages. I don't check my emails. I don't do any of that until after I've had breakfast, which is usually like 2 hours. Like usually by the time I wake up to the time I check my phone, it's been 2 hours. So that allows me to get grounded in my own energy. So I can say, here's the energy that I want to show up with today. Like whether the world wants it or not, this is how I'm showing up today versus letting the world dictate how I show up. When I'm checking, when the first thing that I check, if I check my phone first thing in the morning and I see texts and I see emails, or a client sends me an email that just annoys me, like to be frank, like I read an email, I'm like, really? I've answered this question 17 times. Then I'm showing up with what other people are wanting from me versus what do I want to get out of today?
Yeah, 100%. And then it's also like, well, when you're in that mindset, it's about being of service. You know, it's easier to be of service to your customer, to your clients, and to your community when you are coming from that fulfilled place and that like full restored place.
Absolutely. And I think it's important to also have perspective on what your business is. So prior to me being an entrepreneur, I worked in retail for like 5 or 6 years, like high-end retail. And I had this manager, I still talk to her because I love her to death. And I was really, really upset one day. And I was like folding these jeans on a counter. And I was like, oh, like, you know, this customer, da, 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 da. She took the jeans from my hand and she put them down and she goes, "Brie, we're just selling pants." And I was like, oh. And so I think about that time, that moment a lot of the time where I'm just like, because I'm on the West Coast, so I'm usually typically 3 hours behind a lot of my clients. So sometimes they'll be awake and like going before I'm, you know, awake and going. And that used to stress me out. And I would check my phone and I would take the calls and I'd respond to the emails like right when I got up. And I realized, I'm like, I don't need to do that. Like if someone doesn't get their Pinterest pin pinned by 10 a.m. their time, like that person's business isn't going to fail. Like my business isn't going to fail. So taking like a bigger perspective of like, we're just selling pants, or like, we're just posting on Instagram, you know, that whatever is going on isn't as crucial as our anxieties might be making it seem. Making it seem?
No, I absolutely agree with exactly how you worded it. It's spot on, because anxiety makes everything feel like it's world ending.
Yeah. Like if you don't get this done, then something really bad is going to happen. And 9.5%, 9.5 times out of 10, nothing bad is going to happen.
Yeah. And that's where, you know, having that conversation, I'm a big advocate of journaling, but also talking to myself and actually like getting it out of my head and speaking it and saying, okay, what is it that I'm fearing? Like, what is this worst case scenario that I think is going to happen? And then almost like I describe it as like talking myself, you know, off the ledge and saying, okay, well, you know, really sort of like having that conversation with myself or with a loved one if they're handy. True. But just so like getting it out of my head and really looking at it, and then like looking at, well, what can I control here? And even if the worst thing was to happen, you know, what is that really the worst? And I find that that helps to build resilience too, because it helps you to come back to the present moment as well and stop thinking so far in the future, stop thinking about the what ifs and all the stuff I can't control, but then also turning to somebody or, you know, helping myself to understand that, okay, sometimes shit happens and it's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I think exploring the fear is really important. And I think exactly what you were saying, like keep whatever the fear is or the anxiety is, which usually a lot, if I've clocked it that if I have a thought that starts with what if, that's anxiety. So I immediately recognize it of like, okay, this is anxiety. So we're probably going to go down a little hole here and explore that fear of like, okay, so what if I don't get this task accomplished? Then what happens? Oh, the client fires me. Okay. And then what happens? What happens if a client fires me? I can go and find a new client or like, you know, or that's okay that they fired me. Maybe it just wasn't the right fit. Like, what is the worst possible thing? And keep digging down and exploring that thought or that fear of like, what is it that you're actually afraid of? And then once you understand, like, okay, my fear is that if I lose one client, then I'm going to lose all of my clients and then I'm going to not have my business anymore. But what does that actually mean? You can start a new business. You can find a new skill. You can find something else to do, you know, to just keep playing with that thought and continuing to build that curiosity. I think that almost breaks down the fear to where you're not overindulging in it almost.
Yeah. And it takes away its power.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what the word term I was searching for.
Oh, well, I have really enjoyed chatting to you as I always do. We could go on and on and on about this for hours. And I hope that our very honest and open conversation is, you know, maybe going to find somebody at exactly the right time that they are feeling unsupported perhaps or a little bit lost, and to know that, you know, anxiety and a small business and entrepreneurship and even just being at work can often go hand in hand. And it's just really important to be having these conversations and know that there's things that you can be doing to help yourself and to move through it in a way where you feel in a different place.
Yeah. And I told you before we started recording that like the biggest takeaway that I wanted someone to have from listening to this episode is that if you are an entrepreneur, you're a small business, or even if you're an employee or you're not any of those things, that having anxiety doesn't prohibit you from doing the things that you want to do. It's just an obstacle, one more obstacle that you have to overcome, just like someone else might have a different obstacle that they have to overcome on the path to doing what they want to do. So I want anyone who does experience anxiety to know what's possible for them, and that's whatever they want to do. It's just, yeah, you're gonna experience some anxiety along the way and you'll be fine.
And it has a little gift in it where it does open you up to vulnerability and getting to know yourself on a deeper level, and then, you know, really opening up yourself to acceptance, love, compassion. So I think it's always, it does carry some little bit of goodness with it if we open
Absolutely. Up to it. Absolutely, I agree.
Oh, thank you, my love.
Thank you.
Want to listen to some of, you know, your podcast episodes, because there's lots of goodness over there and you've just started back for 2021. Where can they find you? Where can they find your podcast?
Yeah. So my podcast name is Let's Get Into It with Brie Marie, and it's pretty much available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Cast, wherever you can stream a podcast, it's available there. If you want to follow me on Instagram, my handle is @livingbreely, Brely. And yeah, that's how you can connect with me.
Fantastic. All right, my love. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, bye.
Thanks so much for listening. And if you loved this episode, I would be so grateful if you could take the time to leave me a 5-star review and share this with your friends and family. I really appreciate you being here with me. And if you'd like to know more about what I do and for some free resources, please head on over to my website, teamko.com.au, and you can connect with me over on social media at Meditate with Kirstie.